Hello, I'm starting this again. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva abhut vijanatah tatra ko mohah kashyokah ekatvam anupashyatah. This is verse 7. Imameva artham anyopi mantrah aha. That means Shankarabhashya gives an introduction to this, saying that what meaning was said in the 6th verse is explained here further in the 7th verse. Basically, 7th verse says, where all beings, for the knowing person, where all beings have become Atman, he will never be deluded. What is the question of delusion for him? There is no question of delusion for him. And also he will have no sorrow. So there is no sorrow or delusion for this intelligent person for whom the whole universe has become Atman. So this is the idea of the shloka. This is just generic meaning of the shloka. And let us go deeper into Shankarabhashya to see what Shankaracharya says clearly. Yasmin kale yathokta atmaniva. See, the word yasmin here in the verse basically means we can take it as at the time of realization or something like that. Or in another way, yasmin means in something. That means here, yasmin means in atma. Having explained atma as the eternal pure thing, what we have said till now, in this Atman, we can also take it in that way, this word. Tanyeva bhutani sarvani paramartha atmadarshanat atmaiva abhut atmayeva samvrittaha paramartha vastu vijanataha. So paramartha vastu vijanataha means the person who knows the eternal absolute reality. What will he do? For him, all these beings around, everything around in this universe, he sees them as actually Atman only, because he sees absolute reality. All these beings for him have become the Atman. Here, we need to understand clearly what this means from the Shankaracharya's perspective. We have to take you back to the analogy of the snake and the rope. When a person mistakes this the curly thing lying around on the ground for a snake, he rushes around and he's very upset and he's trying to see how he can run away or kill the snake. But the moment somebody shows light and shows the torch or something and shows that it is not really a snake but it's just a rope, what happens? His vision of the snake becomes the vision of the rope. That means snake itself turns itself into rope for him. So this universe, coming out of the analogy, the universe, what the ignorant people see as different, that which has a number of things which can cause them sorrow or hatred or difference, activities, worries, whatever, all this does not happen to that intelligent person. He sees Atman only in all these multifarious activities. He doesn't see any of these activities, but these activities are replaced by his vision of the eternal, single, pure Atman. Tatra tasmin kale, during that phase of realization, or in that Atman, tatra atmaniva, ko mohaha, kashyokaha. So during the phase of this realization, where is this delusion or wrong knowledge? Where is this sorrow? There is no question of sorrow. Shokascha mohascha kama karma bhijam. sorrow and delusion, sorrow and ignorance or wrong knowledge are seeds of fruitive activities or seed of interested action or desirous actions. So desirous actions are basically caused by sorrow and delusion. Ajanataha bhavati, only persons who are deluded and persons who are ignorant and who don't know the real knowledge, for them this sorrow and delusion happens, and because of sorrow and delusion they engage in pleasure-oriented fruitive activities. Natu atmaikatvam vishuddham gaganopamam pashyataha, not for the person who is eternally, which is continuously visualizing, not visualizing but realizing. Visualization is just imagination, but he is actually realizing one Atman which is pure like Gagana or sky, like the space. The next sentence of Shankara Bhashya I am reading. Ko mohaha kaha shokaha iti shoka mohayoho avidya karya karyayoho akshepena asambhava pradarshanat sakaranasya samsarasya atyantameva uchedaha pradarshito bhavati. This is a very significant explanation here. Avidya karya means, what are the effects of avidya or ignorance? They are shoka and moha, that is sorrow and delusion. The fact that in the original Upanishad the question is asked, ka ko moha ka shokaha, in a question that, oh, where is ignorance or where is delusion and where is sorrow? Because it is said in this way, Shankaracharya says, for such an intelligent person, the shoka or moha cannot be possible, and sakaranasya samsarasya, this whole samsara or our world experience, including its origin, the origin of the world experience is because of sorrow and delusion. Including sorrow and delusion and all the effects of sorrow and delusion, that is this entire world experience, the continuous experiences we go through, and this whole samsara itself, atyantameva uchedaha, this whole samsara is completely negated, it is destroyed, it is sublated to that intelligent person who sees only Atman in everything, and he doesn't see anything else, just Atman. So in a way we can say Shankaracharya sort of gives a very low value to this universe, but really speaking, the real meaning here is, for Shankaracharya this universe is an illusion, it's only apparent but it is not real. The reality is only one, that is Atman. There is nothing else is real. Everything else is caused by sorrow and delusion, and that is they are only effects of avidya or the ignorance. Hope this is very clear. What we can do is we can take a break and we can open the bridge for questions now. Is this verse clear? Okay. Anybody else, any comments?
I have a hard time understanding how Shankara can speak about absolute ekatvam, about knowing absolute ekatvam identity. Anything, there has to be a knower, a known, and a process of knowing. So, if there's
Let me repeat this question because of it may not come to my mic here, so I will repeat this question for the sake of recording. So the question is, how would Shankaracharya derive absolute ekatva, or absolute oneness, or one only, when the process of knowing automatically or obviously requires the knower, knowledge, and the object of knowledge? So when these are involved in the process of knowing, how can Shankaracharya derive absolute oneness or only Atman and deny the existence of anything else, including the knower and the known? It's a very good question. Here, in the Advaita Bhashya, his view on this shloka is very clear. It is, even the so-called individuality, or the so-called assumption of the knower, and the so-called perception of, oh, I got the knowledge, and the so-called perception of, oh, I have something else in the outside, by knowledge, outside me and this knowledge, there is some object to be perceived. All this itself is equivalent to a snake for Shankaracharya. So as far as Shankaracharya is concerned, this all forms the part of a snake in an analogy, when we know very clearly what this analogy is. So these are caused by a sort of a delusion. So one thing we can ask a question is, where is the origin of this error? And that means avidya. Where is this avidya, and what is the status of avidya? Is avidya also existing side by side one, which is Atman? This question can be answered in a different way. Please mute your phones so that you can listen. And while you want to talk to me, you can unmute yourself. So, what happens to this avidya? And what is the status of his avidya is a question which really is clear. Avidya, according to Shankaracharya, is still a sadasad vilakshana. It can never be said as existing. It can never be said as non-existing. It is beyond explanation in a way. Anirvachaniya means it cannot be explained. Sadasad vilakshana. So it is other than what is real and other than what is unreal. So he brings this avidya, or the primal ignorance, to a separate status by itself, which is not acceptable to any of the other schools, particularly the Vedantic schools of Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, and obviously Chaitanya Sampradaya also. So this concept is not acceptable. But what we are doing here is, I am faithfully representing what each Acharya spoke, because that is the purpose of our whole lecture session, where we want to say what each Acharya has said. As far as Shankaracharya is concerned, his view is very clear, and this is the meaning of this verse for him. And this has been the idea all along, and then for that there are reasons for it. He takes tatvamasi, aham brahmasmi, sadeva somya idamagra asit ekameva advitiyam. If I feel, I may not be right, but sort of the other words from the Upanishad, sadeva somya idamagra asit ekameva advitiyam, sat alone existed, o somya, sat alone existed, ekameva, one only, advitiyam, without a second. See, he takes this verse extremely to the word-by-word-by-word meaning, where he denies the value of anything other than that one. So, Shankaracharya has reasons for his ideology like that. But this is, though that kind of absolute oneness is not very clear from this particular verse, because there is a process implied in this verse. But since he takes that absolute ideology from the other parts of Upanishads to be absolute, the rest is just explanation. If there is a process, it's only apparent. The process is apparent for only the seeker, who is again an ignorant person. So for the this verse is only for the intelligent person who knows. And for that person, nothing else exists but Atman only. Even he as an ideology or he as a individual ego does not exist. That ego sublates itself. And the process, and Atman, what is the nature of Atman? We say it that it is a ball of spiritual knowledge. But even that, we cannot say it. A spiritual knowledge is not the attribute of that Atman. Atman is indescribable in terms of anything other than it, because the other than it does not exist. So this is how Shankaracharya's view goes like this. This is very clear from the, we are actually representing what Shankaracharya's view is at this point. Hope this is clear.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we are going to understand and explain Ramanujacharya's philosophy here, and then Madhvacharya's bhashya also eventually. In the next few minutes, I'll start that. But now I'm only dealing with Shankara bhashya, and I want to be very faithful to what that system of thought represents. And I'm not going to bother too much about the later Acharya's views and everything. It will be very complex to do that. I'm going to mainly try to explain Shankaracharya's view here. Yeah. Any other question? Any other question? Okay, what we do now is, we go back and look at Ramanuja Bhashya now. And by the way, since Prabhupada has written very well on the Ishavasya Upanishad from the Chaitanya school, I will, and it's available in English, there is no point in me explaining that. It's very easy to learn. And then I have already emailed this electronic form of it to the group at this point. So we will go to the Ramanuja Bhashya at this point. Hold on while I open a new file here, okay?